Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, sacred through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me. What? Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. My quote was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the Cummins, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a
penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's
I'm
vital.
The Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Laila Tawab, which means good evening or good night in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host, your brother, your friend, as always. I'm joined this evening by Hasadiah, and welcome to another episode of Bible Talk. I want to send shouts out, man, to all our affiliated schools, man, the brothers here in San Antonio, the brothers down in H-Town, the brothers in VA, in Rochester, the brothers in California, Atlanta, Canada, and big special shout out, man. Special shout out to the brothers in Albuquerque, the brother Aish, the brother Baha Sapar, which I'll talk about that brother a little bit later on. But special shout out for those brothers for their hospitality this past weekend. And happy Passover, y'all. Happy Passover. Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. But shout out to you, brothers. Shout out to Kawakaw down in Guatemala. And shout out to the 12 tribes that are scattered worldwide. The globe, man. So shout out to y'all. I hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody had a good Shabbat, a good Passover. For those of us that were celebrating Passover starting Sunday evening, as well as, like I said, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me go ahead and get into it, man, because I got some things I want to unpack. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's the prayer we need to be sending up on the daily, y'all, so we can get the hell on. Now let's get Psalms chapter 118, verse 24, please, man.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it.
Please believe me.
All right, y'all. So, like I said, I have quite a bit to unpack, man. So, myself, Mashaba's boys, man, we made the journey, the trip this weekend, man, up to ABQ, man, to fellowship with the brothers in Albuquerque and to celebrate the Passover. As y'all know, San Antonio, Houston, VA, Rochester, we celebrated Passover. We had the service for it anyway back on an Easter Sunday. We weren't saying that there was the actual Passover, but we did it in such a way where we did it that way so that people that had to work or whatever would be available to travel and they wouldn't have to worry about their overseer, by way of whoever they're employed by, tripping with them, all right? And we know from reading Exodus that that was the one thing that Moses continually went in and pleaded with Pharaoh with, was to let us go so that we might be able to serve the Most High. And during that time in Egypt, we were in captivity, so we couldn't fully serve the Most High. Now, I know, you know, different brothers have different perspectives on those particular scriptures and that particular concept. I'm not going to split hairs over it, but that was the reason. So I say all of this to say that we celebrated that Passover here in San Antonio with those affiliated camps that I just mentioned. And then we, like I said, this past weekend, rolled out, man, to Albuquerque to celebrate it with the brother Aish and the rest of the brothers that are out there. This, man, and I like that drive. I like the drive because it's a beautiful, beautiful scenery, man. This is really a beautiful country, y'all. It really is. Y'all get the opportunity. Go and check out the brother Deacon Athan with IUIC. He did a series on his class title was The Two Promised Lands. Fire class, y'all. Fire class. But what the brother was basically breaking down was how the land that used to be called Canaan, which is eventually became Israel, named after us, that was one of the promised lands, but he also goes into the Bible as well as secular sources to prove beyond a reason of a doubt that the Americas was also a promised land to the Israelites, specifically the nine and what we call the nine and a half tribes, or the world refers to, what's the name of the world, some scholars refer to as the 10 tribes, on this side of the Americas, man. And I'm saying all this to say that this is a beautiful country, man. And I subscribe to what the brother talks about in that class about the two promised lands. But, man, just traveling and seeing all of that scenery, man, the landscape, the mountains, the desert, it's quite a scene, man, quite a scene. So anyway, I want to say, Iwata, thank you to those brothers and sisters that was there celebrating the Passover, that welcomed us with great hospitality, with open arms. And I also want to apologize to those brothers and sisters. And I'm apologizing because we showed up late. And it was my fault. It was my fault because I was with Aish the majority of the day. Anyway, made it back to the hotel pretty late to get myself prepared, and Mashaba was waiting on me, so don't blame Mashaba, y'all. It was my fault. I'm taking the hit on that we were late. But I also want to say this, because the brothers and sisters, they really honored us when we were there, and that was something that was I wasn't expecting. I was expecting to go to the Passover strictly as a spectator, as just a fellowship with those brothers and sisters, but was very thrown back and surprised that they were honoring us, man. That really threw me off. Now, I'm used to that traveling with Mashaba. So Mashaba's tenure in the truth, as well as his wisdom, his brotherhood, his counsel. The brother is really a dynamic counselor. And he, oh my goodness, I can't say enough about Mashaba's patience. Y'all really don't understand, man. Mashaba's patience and his love for his people, man. I have personally rolled with his brother because me and Mashaba rolled. We've been all over, traveling in vehicles, on planes, whatever, man. But we traveling, and I hear the people calling them back to back for counsel. And he counseling these brothers and sisters for hours at a time. I was on end to where I know the brother's tired. I know the brother's he's got his own stuff he's dealing with, but he yet and still he takes his time out to counsel and to comfort these brothers and sisters with scriptures, man. So I get brothers and sisters honoring Mashaba the way that they do. You know, it says that we're supposed to give honor to who honor is due. Honor is definitely due to Mashaba. I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal or Yahushua or anything like that to say that he needs to be worshipped, but he needs to be honored for the work that he's put in all these many years and continually put in. He continues to put this work in, man, out of the love for his people. So big ups to the brother Mashaba. And back to my point, I can understand him being honored the way that he's honored. But for me, listen, y'all, and I'm speaking and I'm saying this from a place of sincerity. I'm not trying to be contradictory. I'm not trying to mock or anything of that nature. I don't consider myself worthy to be honored in that type of way. I don't consider myself to be a priest. I don't consider myself to be in the same conversation with Mashaba. And I said, once again, it's coming from a position of sincerity. I'm not trying to be over righteous. I ain't trying to be none of that. But I'm saying all this because that threw me. And for the brother Baha Sapar to open up his house the way he did and honor us, that really threw me. And I'm going to tell y'all why. So, and y'all been listening to this blog talk for X number of years. Y'all know that we had a split here in San Antonio a few years back. Well, after that split, after that split, things weren't the same. And I'm speaking for myself. Shabbat has his own tale, but I was not accepted, so to speak, with the brothers here in the camp. So I stuck to what I knew, what I could do, which was teaching. And the Water Mashaba for hooking up the blog talk arena avenue that has been going for well over 10 years now, but that's why I started at reading from Mashaba, then eventually grew up to teach. And I just fell in my lane, and that's been my lane. But I never thought that blog talk would do and touch so many people. And it's almost like, we have gatherings and things of that nature, and brothers come in from out of town, or I travel and I see brothers from around the country. It never fails a brother will come up, pull me to the side, and thank me for blog talk and tell me about classes and ask me about what I meant in this class or that class, or just give his appreciation. And I'm so used to, and Mashaba can attest to this, I'm so used to prophesying to the wind. Because when we did used to street teach in San Antonio, a lot of times it would be just that. San Antonio is not the type of city like a New York or a Cali to where you're going to have like big crowds like that. We would occasionally have decent crowds when we were street teams, but for the most part, we were prophesying to the wind. And doing blog talk, we do a lot of prophesying to the wind. So, and I'm saying all this to say that that's what I became accustomed to and used to. Now, the Most High said his word does not go out void, and it doesn't. But to see it manifest is something that's blowing me away, y'all. Blowing me away. Let's get Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. Because the scriptures can express way better than I could express what I'm trying to convey right now.
Matthew 13, 53.
Uh-huh.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was come into his own country.
No, it says Christ came to his own country, meaning he was around his own people. Read.
He taught them in their synagogue.
And he was in their school teaching. Read.
Insomuch that they were astonished.
And the people that were in the school was like, wow. They were really thrown back by Christ's teaching. Read.
And said, have this man this wisdom and these mighty works.
They were surprised. But this is why they were surprised. Read.
Is not this the carpenter's son?
Because they didn't think much of Christ. They said, man, ain't he the carpenter's son? That's the carpenter's boy. That's Joseph's boy. Well, he always know how to do all of that. Where would you get that from? Read.
Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?
They knew him. They knew him. They knew his family. They knew the family business even. You're a carpenter. What are you doing teaching? Read.
And his sisters, are they not all with us?
Read.
Whence then hath this man all these things?
Where did he get all of this knowledge from? Read.
And they were offended in him.
And they were what?
They were offended in him.
And they were offended. Where are you going to have to do all of this? How you get all this training? Where do you get all this wisdom from? Where do you get all this know-how from? You were only known for this. You were only known for that. Where did you get that from? We never seen you do that. Read.
But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor.
Now listen to what he's saying. What did Christ say?
A prophet is not without honor.
A prophet is not without honor, meaning a prophet is not appreciated. He's not valued. Where?
Save in his own country.
He ain't going to be valued from the people where he's from. They're not going to appreciate him. Read.
And in his own house.
His own house is not going to appreciate him for the things he has to offer regarding this thing we call truth. Read.
And he did not many nights, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
And he didn't do a lot of works there because of they didn't believe that the Most High was working with him, that he was the prophet that the Most High spoke of all the way from back in the Old Testament. He did a few works there. You'll read about it in the scriptures. But he didn't do a lot because of their unbelief. How do you know they didn't believe? Because they didn't honor him and appreciate him for what he had to bring to the table. So I just want to say the water, brothers and sisters, for, like I said, honoring me the way y'all did, man. I greatly appreciate that. And it was really nice, man, to see these brothers and sisters operate and to see something different, man. A big shout out to the brother, Zakar, man. And you too, Aish, man. The stuff that y'all are doing and putting together out of a love for Israel, commendable, Aish. And it is beautiful, Aish. It really is, Aish. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. But to see how these brothers are operating and doing things for Israel that I've never seen done before, and that's not to discredit any other Israelite group, but for me to be in contact first on, hands on with this and see this for myself, man, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful what y'all are doing. And it just reminded me, even when I was there at Passover, and the way brothers and sisters were conducting themselves, it was different. It was different. It's not what I'm used to. And it reminded me of this chapter, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what it reminded me of. First Corinthians chapter 12, and let's start at verse 1. Now, you know what? What time is it? Because I want to get to the class. Let's start at verse 4.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
The word diversity means differences. There are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that's what we have among Israel, man. We have brothers that are so talented, but all not talented at just one particular thing. Brothers are talented at a multiple of things, but it's still all the same Spirit, meaning it all came from the Most High. The Most High put this Spirit on each and every last one of us. Come on, y'all. We got to be real about this. There are 12 tribes, right? 12 tribes, not one. And I'm saying this because out of 12 tribes, which we know came from one man, our forefather Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he had those 12 sons, which we came from each one of those sons. So you're telling me all 12 of our forefathers, of the progenitors of the 12 tribes, did things all the same way? Huh? There's nowhere in hell they did things all the same way. You can get a group of five people together, and I guarantee you none of them would do the same thing the same way. But we as Israelites, it seems like we just don't really acknowledge this, or we don't realize this. Because I've seen brothers pull this chapter before, and I'm like, man, this is a bad chapter. When I read this chapter for myself, bad chapter. But I don't think brothers really get what Paul was saying in his epistle. Read it again.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Read.
And there are differences of administration.
Now, it was differences. There's differences of what?
Administration.
Look up the word administration. Watch this.
Administration, performance of executive duty.
Oh, my goodness. So there are different performances of executive duties concerning who? Our nation, our people. And he says here, and there are differences of administration, meaning what? Everybody going to be doing the same thing. Everybody going to be doing what you do. Everybody going to be worshiping the way that you do. I hope we're seeing this. What else you got for administration?
The act or process of administering something. The execution of public affairs.
The act or process of administrating something. So we all follow in the same book, but we all going to do things differently. And that's not to say that they're bad. It's not to say that they're wrong. We're just doing them differently. If we're keeping the commandments and believing in the principles of Christ, we're not going to do things the same, y'all. You know?
From the scripture.
Yep, from the scripture.
But the same Lord.
But the same Yahweh Shah, the same Christ. Read.
And there are diversities of operations.
There are different operations. Read.
But it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Meaning, let you know that all Israelites are not going to operate the same. And I said this. I said this countless times. A lot of us believe that it's supposed to be this damn cookie-cutter Israelite. There's only one type of Israelite. It's not. Some brothers are really in tune with nature as Israelites. And when I say nature, I'm not trying to get all heebie-jeebie, mystical and stuff. I'm just talking about certain brothers just really are in tune with nature and appreciate it. And why wouldn't they? Didn't the Most High create it? Ain't this is how you show the Most High that he is the Most High? By being in awe of the nature that he created? Come on. But you'll get some people that dismiss that. Oh, them brothers, they on some weird crap. Or you get some brothers that they're really into work ethic. And their particular camp will revolve around that. That ain't wrong either. Because we did go to work. We went to work. We built things with our hands. It tells us in, what's it, Babylon 10, book 2, page 90, I believe. It lists all the things that we did as a nation and as a people. Matter of fact, let me not just quote it. Let's get it. Hold on, y'all. And we use this as a reference. So the book is from Babylon 10, book 2. The author is Rudolph R. Windsor. We're going to go to page 90. This, so y'all can see what I'm saying. Is the other one?
Yeah.
Why are you not over here? Here, read this. Yep, the bottom of the page. Listen to this, y'all.
Right here?
Yep.
From Babylon to Timbuktu by Rudolph R. Windsor, page 90. The black Jews had an advantage over the African tribes.
Now, this is when we went down into Africa after 70 A.D., when we were chased, ran up out of Jerusalem. So So we went down with the heathen and these African nations and said we had an advantage over these nations. And we were there, read.
They carried their culture.
First of all, we carried our culture, which is what? The commandments, the principles of Christ, read.
History.
Our history, the Bible, read.
Laws.
The Bible.
And written records with them.
The Bible and our written records, such as marriage certificates, divorce certificates, things of that nature, read.
This assured them a constant precedent for the development of a higher social organization.
We had a higher social organization. We were organized. We were organized. Yes, we were. We weren't doing things spur of the moment. It was very calculated, very scripted, very planned. Read.
Because of the stability of the black Jewish culture.
And because we had a plan, we were stable. That's why I said because of the stability. Remember what even the scripture says. Wisdom and knowledge should be the stability of our times. Because you get some brothers that they just want to operate. They don't want to plan nothing out. But don't the scripture says where no vision is, the people perish? Don't the scripture says we should be forward a year ago? All that's talking about planning. You plan things, and when you planning things, you grow. You grow, y'all. So you're not continually doing the same thing for 10 years, talking about, oh, yeah, look how much we're growing. Anyway, Reno.
The Jews were not absorbed into the
Osmanicious
population.
Meaning we were not absorbed into the Hamites in which we lived amongst. We didn't start doing the stuff that they were doing. Well, we eventually did, sadly to say. But initially, we didn't. Read.
The Jews absorbed some of the native tribes.
And they tried, the natives, the Hamites, tried to be like us. And it's funny. Because I don't know what's going on with Albuquerque. But Albuquerque has quite a significant population of Hamites out there. But I see them, and they be trying to look like us. We have fake dreads in their hair, got the gold on, dressed like us, walking like us, trying to talk like us. I don't know what that's about out there in Albuquerque. But that always gets me. It's been a minute since I've been out there, but I noticed this like over 10 years ago when we used to work the fairs. And they still out there. Him is still out there walking around as Jafakin. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, read on.
In fact, the Jews absorbed some of the native tribes.
Read.
The Jews made use of every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They were an industrious and skillful people.
We're an industrial and skillful people. Well, y'all listening to this? This has been our MO. We built this country. That took what? Skill. Read.
In the Jewish Ghanaian states were found kings, princes, governors, generals, secretaries, treasurers, revenue agents, judges, architects, engineers, doctors, historians, language interpreters, mathematicians, jewelers, sculptors, masons, carpenters, painters of art, goldsmiths, leather workers, potters, armorers, saddlers, blacksmiths, agriculturalists, etc.
No, we were all just priests. We were just all teaching the Bible. That's all we did. Is that what it says, y'all? No, that's a long list of occupations. Of skills that we did, that we still do. Now, hold that page. We definitely gonna come back to it. Now, let's pair that with what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6.
And there are diversities of operations.
The operations in which she just read out of Babylon and Timbuktu. Brothers are blessed with different skill sets, different abilities. Read.
But it is the same God which worketh all in all.
But all those gifts still came from the Most High. They all still came from the Most High. Even though we're not all doing the same thing. worshiping the same way, operating the same way. Read.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man.
Now watch this. Look up the definition for manifestation. Got it?
Manifestation, an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something.
It clearly shows or embodies something. It's letting us know this is but the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning that you want to know what the Spirit looks like? Look at us. That are full of the Spirit, that are being motivated in the Spirit. We embody the Spirit of Yahweh Shai. We embody the Spirit. Even though we have different operations, even though we do things a little differently than from one another, we still embody the Spirit of Christ. Read that again, verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
It's given to all of us that keep the commandments and believe in the principles of Christ. It's given to all of us. But all of us didn't get the same thing. Read.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
So some of us, we get the word of wisdom. And we know that wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. So we don't get just the scriptures. We get, some of us, how to apply the scriptures. This is what it's talking about. Read.
For
to another.
I'm sorry. To another, the word of knowledge.
The scriptures themselves. Somebody else will get the scriptures. They'll have precept upon precept on deck. See, it's just Raul Marx. But does that mean that the brother that's talked about in the first half of this precept is going to be able to do the same thing? Some, but not all. The brother in the first half of this precept, read it again from the top.
Eight,
yes.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
By the Spirit of Christ, he's given the word of wisdom, how to apply the scriptures. Read.
To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
He's given the scriptures. He's given those precepts by the same Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Yahweh Shai. But you see the difference there? One can show you how to apply them. The other, he can give them to you.
To another, faith by the same Spirit.
And then you'll get faith from another brother that might not have the ability to quote scripture or have scriptures on deck, but he'll be able to show you the faith that you're supposed to have in the scriptures and how to maneuver through your life in times where you really need to exercise your faith. Read.
To another, the gift of healing.
And then you get one, he know how to heal. And we know that this healing goes on by the scriptures. The scriptures actually heals. It's our medicine. But can all brothers take these scriptures and heal and pull those spirits off of you? No, all brothers ain't gifted with that. Read.
By the same Spirit.
But it's still the same Spirit. All these gifts are still coming from Yahweh Shai. Read.
To another, the working of miracles.
And other brothers are like, bro, I don't know how you did that. That's a miracle. You pulled that off. Man, I wish I could do that. Because I don't have the ability to do it, but brother, you do. Read.
To another, prophecy.
Another brother here to go through these scriptures and show you all the prophecies being manifest this day and age. Read.
To another, discerning of spirit.
And another brother be able to say, hey, nah, the spirit ain't right with that eye. Mm-mm, I wouldn't do it if I was you. Because the scriptures say this. The scriptures say that. He can discern the spirit. But another brother might not be gifted with that ability to do so. Read.
To another, diverse kinds of tongues.
You get another brother, he's great at languages. I know, one firsthand, Kawakaw, great at languages. I think the brother said the last time I talked to Kawakaw, which has been probably a couple years ago, he was learning Portuguese. Dynamic with them languages. But I'm still over here stuck on como está. The little bit of Spanish I know. I didn't get that gift.
To another, the interpretation of tongues.
And some brothers, like I said, going back to language. But remember when we read out of Babylon in Timbuktu? Some of us were language interpreters. Read.
But all these worketh that one and the self-same spirit.
But it's still the same spirit. Even if we ain't got the same gifts or the same abilities, it all still came from the Most High. Read.
Dividing to every man severally as he wills.
What does that mean, severally? Separately. Oh, I'm going to deal with you on this, brother. Oh, I'm going to deal with this brother on this. Oh, I'm going to show this brother right here how to do this. This is how the Most High works with us. This is why when we come together, man, you better watch out. We're bad when we're together. Because it's like we come together like Voltron up in this piece. You form the head. I form the arms, the torso, the legs. We come together, man, and we're bad. We're dynamic. Read.
For as the body is one and hath many members.
And it gives this example of the body. Read.
And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
It's letting us know you how shot operating the same way. Even if we're not doing all the same thing, or for that matter, celebrating our high holy days on the same day. That seems to be a huge issue in Israel right now. A huge back and forth. Are y'all doing it on the wrong day? You doing it on this? What does it matter, Oz? We doing it. If I was going to do it, we doing it. I'm not criticizing brothers. I'm not. But I'm just trying to get us to look at what the Most High really wanted us to be doing. And that's being together. That's being together. Even if it's on the wrong day. Read.
For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body.
Mm-hmm. By one spirit. Read.
Whether we be Jews.
Whether we be who?
Jews.
Whether we be Israelites that know we're Israelites. Read.
Or Gentiles.
Or we be a brother or sister that don't know they're Israelites. But they still got what? These gifts that the Most High blessed them with. You wake a brother up. And you don't know his brother just met your brother coming to camp, starting learning who he is, and you find out, damn, this brother got a talent for doing this. This brother got a knack for that. Ain't that how brothers be getting their names in the truth? Based off the ability that the elders see that they have in them, that the brother didn't even know he had in him. This is why it's so important to wake our people up, because they're needed. They can fill in those slots, those areas that are vacant right now that we actually need help in. So whether you be an Israelite that know you're Israelite or Israelite that don't know you're Israelite, that ain't been woke up yet, read.
Whether we be bond or free.
Whether you be held down to a 9-to-5. Whether not you be held down to a job or your career to where you're kind of limited on what you can do. But you can still do something. But the brother that's read.
Or free.
The brother that's freed up, that's self-employed, well, he got this time. He ain't got to go punch no clock. He ain't got to report to no job. This brother's valuable, too. Read.
And have been all made to drink into one spirit.
And that's the spirit of Christ. Read.
For the body is not one member, but many.
And then Paul breaks it down and simplifies it for us. Says, you don't understand none of this. I know you understand how your body works, don't you? He says, for the body is not one member, but many. There's many different parts of your body. Read.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body.
If the foot just say, man, I ain't the hand, I'm not as needful or useful as the hand, and just say, I don't really need to be involved with the body because I think of myself less than what I am. Read.
Is it therefore not of the body?
Hell yeah, you need your foot. Try walking around without a foot. I ain't gonna even say walking around, you be hopping around. So we can't think like, well, I'm not valuable. I don't have anything to offer. We all got something to offer, y'all. Read.
And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body.
The ear say, well, I'm not as valuable as the eye, because the body got to be able to see. Yeah, but try seeing and not hearing. Go talk to somebody deaf. And you ask them how much they miss, how much they hate not being able to hear. Read.
Is it therefore not of the body?
It's still needed. Read on.
If the whole body were an eye.
If our whole body was an eye. Read.
Where were the hearing?
How will we hear then? We'll be able to see up a storm. We may be able to see up until next year. But we still can't hear when they say, hey, watch out for that car. Now we did. Your body's useful. Just like all parts of Israel, the body of Israel, the body of Christ is useful. Read.
If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?
But if the whole body was just a big nose, I'm sorry, a big ear, but we couldn't smell nothing. So we just walking and stepping some poop. And now we just walking around smelling like poop all day. Because we ain't have a nose to tell us, hey, you stepped in some dog poop. You can get that off your shoe. Read.
But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body.
The Most High has done what?
Set the members, every one of them, in the body.
The Most High wants us to come together, y'all. Regardless of how we worship, regardless of how we do things, he wants us to come together so we can do what? Figure it out. We'll figure it out. I'm not going to shame you because you doing this on your Sabbath, and this is how you prepare. You have a day of preparation for your Sabbath. And I ain't going to shame you either if you got to go to work on the Sabbath. Or if you run out of gas because you're driving on the Sabbath, you got to go pay for some gas. I'm not going to shame you, but I get it. I ain't going to shame you if you ain't got your fridges on. But I do. Or vice versa.
But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him.
As it pleased who?
Him.
Because we don't be pleased with this. We don't be wanting to be gathered. No, I ain't doing that. My brother's weird. Read.
And if they were all one member, where were the body?
But if we all did the same thing, then how would we be a whole body if all of us did the exact same thing the exact same way? Me and Charlotte were having a conversation on the way up here, talking about the different types of foods amongst the 12 tribes. All of them are different, but yet still the same. We were talking about how Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh basically all eat the same types of foods. With Benjamin, it's a rice and peas. With Ephraim, it's a rice and peas. With Manasseh, it's a rice and peas or a rice and bean. Just some type of rice, some type of tea with some meat and some cabbage. And then all three of them eat plantains. We were talking about this, I guess because all of them had the same mama, got the same mannerisms, same diet, right? I don't know. Same different eating, or different types of eating, but same spirit. Even with the dancing, Benjamin got reggae. Ephraim got reggae tones. Vanessa be doing it too. We're not all the same, y'all. We do things differently, and that's okay. It's still under the guise of the Most High, under the guise of Christ. Read.
But now are they many members, yet but one body.
Many members, many differences amongst us, but still the same, still one body. Read.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee.
I don't need you, hand. I can just see my way around. I don't have to actually grab stuff. Read.
Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you.
I don't need to go nowhere. I don't need to walk. I don't need to run. It sounds stupid, don't it? Well, we sound stupid when we dismiss brothers because they do stuff differently. Read.
Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble.
Those members of the body that seem to be more feeble. Look at the word feeble.
Feeble, lacking physical strength.
They weak. They not on our level.
Especially as a result of age or illness.
Oh, them some young brothers. Oh, them brothers sickly. What else you got for feeble?
Faint. Lacking strength of character.
Them brothers ain't as strong as we are in the scripture, so we're not going to deal with them. This is what it says. Read the scripture again, verse 22.
Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
They seem to be more weak. They seem to be more unnecessary, but scripture says that no, them brothers are necessary. You're going to need them brothers for something. They can contribute. They can help nation build. Read.
And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable.
Which we think to be insignificant. Oh, I don't need them. All them brothers do is this. All them brothers do is that. All of those brothers are useful for something amongst our nation. Read.
Upon these we bestow more abundant honor.
And honor these brothers that you think are insignificant. Read.
And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness.
The weak parts of us, the ugly parts of Israel that we think that ain't useful, it says parts have more abundant comeliness. Those are the most beautiful pieces. The most beautiful pieces, y'all. Read.
For our comely parts have no need.
The good-looking parts, the stuff we don't need to work on is there. We don't need to keep reiterating or keep working on it. Read.
But God has tempered the body together.
Read.
Having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks.
We need to work on the things that we lack, man, not the things we're good at. A lot of us are terrible with social skills. When I say social skills, I'm talking about getting along with other brothers. Read.
That there should be no schism in the body.
No schism. Read.
But that the members should have the same care one for another.
We all should be caring for one another, which have the same genuine love for one another. Read.
And whether one member suffer, all of the members suffer with it.
No doubt. Because then we all suffer when the two camps was online fighting. Or we all suffer now when somebody just go online. You tell them you're a Hebrew Israelite, they go online, they see all kind of crazy stuff going on. We all suffer behind that. I don't care what camp, what group you with. All of y'all do this in their minds. Read.
Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it.
This is the way it's supposed to be. Read.
Now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular.
We're all one body, but we're all members of different styles, different ways of doing things. Read.
And God has set some in the church.
And then he breaks it down. The Most High set some people up in the congregation. Read.
First apostle.
As an apostle. An apostle is a messenger. So some brothers are going to be dynamic at street teaching. Read.
Secondarily, prophet.
Some brothers going to be dynamic at bringing the prophecies out in the book. Read.
Thirdly, teachers.
Man, that brother can teach his butt off. Read.
After that, miracles.
Man, this brother pulled stuff out. I don't know how he did that. Read.
Then gifts of healing.
Man, that brother really knows how to counsel and pull the spirit off of people. Read.
Help.
This brother's a great help to the body. Everything I call him for, he's there. Hell, I ain't got to call him. He called me. Read.
Government.
Organization. Putting things in order. Paperwork. It's like the brothers from the Marshall Rai Yasha Allah came together and said, okay, we're going to do this. Brothers got a marriage certificate. And I believe they have a divorce certificate. Putting us in order, man. These are the things that we're going to need. We're trying to call ourselves a nation. But I remember the brothers Sakari, they did a class on nations that were exiled but still operated as a nation. Dynamic class. Alizar did that class. Years back, I've seen it. But it was bad, man. He was just naming different nationalities that were displaced in other countries but still was operating within those other countries as a government, as a group, as a people, and as a nation. Bad class he did. But we need brothers like that, that think that way, to get us organized. Read.
Diversities of tongues.
Languages again. Read.
Are all apostles?
Are all of us messengers? No, we not. All of us ain't going to be good at street teaching. Read.
Are all prophets?
Are all of us able to go in and bring out the prophecies of the Bible? No. Read.
Are all teachers?
Are all of us going to be able to teach? No. Read.
Are all workers of miracles?
No. Read.
Have all the gifts of healing?
No. Read on.
Do all speak with tongues?
Different languages? No. Read.
Do all interpret?
No. Read.
But covet earnestly the best gift.
But this is the point. Go if you're not good at these things, then go around a brother or a camp that are good at these things and learn how to do them. What's the common saying we used to always say amongst our community? Each one teach one. This is what it's talking about. Read.
And yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Oh, my goodness. What did Paul say?
And yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
This is a better way of doing things, y'all, instead of being exclusive. I hope y'all see this, man. Paul, bad brother, man. Bad brother. All right, y'all. I'm going to come off my soapbox now. Let's get into some current events. This one got me here. Just heard about this today, but it's been going on for quite some time. Read that.
From UCC.org.
Bobby, I don't need this no more.
Michigan Church.
I don't need this no more. Go ahead, Asadar. Tell them again what you read from.
From UCC.org,
mm-hmm.
Michigan Church releases $170,000 as faith-based reparation.
So this church, the Universal Church of Christ?
United Church of Christ.
They've come together, and they formed an initiative to give reparations to black folks. We know.
Published on August 22nd, 2023. When Judy Martin sold her house in East Lansing, Michigan in 1987, she learned of a racially restrictive covenant in her title that said she was not allowed to sell her house to African Americans. I was shocked, she said. It was the African American family we sold to who pointed that out to us. The Fair Housing Act of 1968 deemed covenants like this unenforceable. But when Martin and her fellow members at Edgewood United Church, a United Church of Christ congregation, began digging into their community history as part of their work toward offering reparations, they found many of the area's deeds held such restrictions.
So, and I initially was pulled to this article from NPR, and it was this Judite lady, this black lady, saying that this is a predominantly white congregation, which I believe, because I'm familiar with Church of Christ. My mother's Church of Christ. I used to attend Church of Christ, and yes, a lot of Edomites up in the church. Read on.
When someone can see in writing that, yes, that existed in our community, a community that votes pretty progressively, people are shocked, Martin said. This was one story along the congregation's path toward delivering a check of slightly more than $170,000 to the Justice League of Greater Lansing, Michigan for reparation.
Mm-hmm.
Repair the breach.
It says to do what?
Repair the breach.
This is what the word reparations means, y'all. It means to repair. They're talking about repairing the breach, and this ain't the first talk of reparations that I've heard. I remember they were talking about this in California. I never followed up on that story to see what happened with it, whether or not they gave their citizens reparations or whatever, black people out there. So this is in Michigan, and I heard mention of this somewhere in Congress. They was talking about this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Now, it's funny that the Church of Christ is doing this. They initiated this based off of one of their members, a black lady. For y'all not familiar with the Church of Christ, so the Church of Christ is, the way they roll is they don't have any, they don't have a choir. They don't have any icons or things of that nature on the wall. And they call themselves the Church of Christ because the words Church of Christ are actually in the Bible. That's why they call themselves the Church of Christ. So if you ever run across one of them and you say, well, your religion's not in the Bible, they're going to pull the scripture to show that Church of Christ is in the Bible. I'm laughing, y'all, but this is what they be standing on, man. 10 toes down. They stand on this nonsense, man. But anyway, they will try to disassociate themselves with the other Protestant churches. And when I say Protestant, and y'all can look this up, a Protestant church is any church that's not calling themselves Catholic. Once again, a Protestant church is any church that is not calling themselves Catholic, because the Protestants were the ones that went against the Catholic Church, which is the universal church. They went against them because the Catholics came out with a decree telling them that they couldn't add any more things on to religion and their rituals. No more innovations, they said. They cut them off. And the Protestants got mad because of that, because they wanted to keep adding rituals to their services and their doctrine. They said, no, we're not going to do what y'all tell us, but we're going to start our own thing. So they became Protestant. And it's like in the thousands of churches that are listed on the Protestants. And I'm saying all this to say that they think that they're not associated with those other Protestants, and they think that they're not associated with the Catholic Church. But all of those Protestants originated from the Catholic Church. This is why they all believe in the Immaculate Conception. They all believe that the law is done away with. They all believe you can eat. You don't have to keep the dietary law. They all celebrate, not all of them, most of them celebrate Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day, Halloween, Thanksgiving. Most of them do all of that. I say most because I know the Seventh-day Adventists, they don't do Sunday service. And I don't think they do no holidays. Jehovah's Witness, they don't do no holidays or birthdays, none of that stuff. But they think that they're separate from the Catholic Church, and they're not. They're one and the same. And the reason I'm saying all of this is because, and IUIC brings out quite frequently about how Pope Nicholas the, I forget, third, fourth, or whatever, he actually owned slave ships. And they financed the whole transatlantic slave trade, which lets you know that religion is racist. They're white supremacists. But these are the people now coming back and saying, oh, we're going to give black people their reparations. That is the most insane thing that you could ever think of. The people that benefited from you being a slave is now going to turn around and give you what you deserve as far as monetarily. But getting to my point, they could never repair the damage which they've done. Can they do this right here? Where we at?
Yeah, here.
Matthew 10. Read from the beginning, from the top, 10 and 1.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples,
mm-hmm.
he gave them power against unclean spirits
mm-hmm.
to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Can they, who call themselves Christians, I'm talking about these pagan Christians who claim to be following Christ, can they do this? Can they cast out the unclean spirits that are on our people? When I say unclean spirits, I'm basically talking about mental illness. And I know y'all probably immediately went to schizophrenia and depression and all that other stuff. I'm not talking about just that stuff. I'm talking about the mental illness we have within ourselves for the vices that we have, whether it be lust, whether it be greed, whether it be narcissism, whether it be whatever ailment that it might be, that we've picked up from being, from going through the transatlantic slave trade and Jim Crowism and being here and being around y'all and the way y'all do stuff to where we've lost our morals. Can they repair that? That's an honest question. I want everybody to ask themselves, can they repair that? Can they fix it? Can they pull these spirits off of our people, off of us? It says to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness, because we are indeed sick as a people and as a nation. You don't believe me, man? If you got any social media, you see our people on there twerking, our women, teaching their daughters to twerk. You see our men, all they want to rap about is about being damn drug addicts and selling dope and doing dope and dying and killing themselves and I shot this, and I bought this, and she that age, and she do neck and brain, and whatever terminology you want to put, all we talk about. Can they heal that? Or are they going to stop that? Or are they going to repair it? They call themselves good Christian folk. They're trying to do something good. They're trying to give back. Can they do that? It says, in all manners of diseases, can they cure the sugar? We call it the sugar in our community, diabetes. That was given to us by way of those food deserts and the things they put in our neighborhood grocery store and how we have the low-wage jobs to where this, the cheap food is the food that causes the sugar and all the health ailments. That's the only thing we can afford. To where most of us grew up on what? Damn processed food. Because your mama had to go to work and you was a latchkey kid. That's what we used to call it. Basically meant you was left at the house by yourself to figure it out. And mama didn't cook. So you had to eat them damn Pop-Tarts, them pizza pockets, Geno's, them raviolis, them Raymond's. That's learned behavior to where you grow up, you're still eating that same way. You're still eating that same way. And then they'll tell you when you go to the doctor, you got the sugar, you got heart issues because it's hereditary. Yeah, it was hereditarily learned by you because of your circumstance. You're a hereditarily eating bad person. Yeah. Well, are they going to heal that? Jump down to verse 7.
And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So are they going to tell our people the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Are they going to tell our people that? Or are they going to tell our people that the kingdom of heaven is only meant for our people? Or are they going to tell us that? Hold this. Let's get Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Acts 1 and 6, read.
When they therefore were come together.
Now this is after Christ arose and came back and spent like, what was it, 40 days with the disciples, a little bit over 3 months.
40 days.
A little over a month, my bad. He spent this time with the disciples. And this is what they asked him. What did he say? This is right before he left.
They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
So this is the Israelites asking for reparations back then. Will you restore? But look what they wanted to know, what was going to be restored. They said the kingdom of Israel. That's being in power, rulership. That's what that's talking about. So when these church folks is asking for black people to be have reparations, then they got to tell black people, hey, man, y'all are real Jews. Y'all are real Israelites, and the kingdom is for y'all. And y'all going to have power, rulership, and authority. That's real reparations. Give me St. John 8:32. Read.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Well, they going to tell our people that they the real Israelites, according to the Bible, according to historical documents. Because this truth will make us free. This would free us up from all the lies that we've been told about who we really are. Are they going to all of a sudden lose their psychological discomfort with putting us in antiquity? Because that'd be the issue now, man. And y'all seen it. When they came out with the damn Netflix series about Cleopatra, about her being black or mixed race or whatever the hell they was on, look how much the world protested against that. And I did several classes. Cleopatra was an Edomite. She was, y'all. But just her being portrayed as black and us having something to do with antiquity, they had a damn fit. When Kevin Hart said the ancient Egyptians was black, they came after him. He was telling the truth. The ancient Egyptians were black. They weren't our people, but they was black. But anytime you mention niggas in antiquity, they got a problem. They have a psychological discomfort. Not y'all niggas. Are they going to tell our people who they really are? Or they going to go into the Bible and say, oh, these are the color scriptures that I learned from the Israelite brothers, and they know what they're talking about, and give these to our people? Because sadly to say, a lot of our people ain't going to listen to us, or telling them that they in the Bible, they the people of the book, they the true God's true chosen people. They don't listen to us. But let a white pastor go in and tell them. Or let your white boss tell you you're an Israelite and show you the same scriptures that we've been showing you for forever. And let's see if by the time they get to Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, and if you still say color don't matter. Let's see if you tell them color don't matter. Or are they going to tell our people the truth? Read this again.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Are they gonna give our people their real nationality and stop just saying that we just came here as slaves and that was it? That's all we did. Are they gonna show our people this? Give me Isaiah 61 verse 1. Read.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Now, this is the same thing that Christ quoted in the New Testament in Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Read.
Because the Lord hath anointed me, preach good tidings unto the meek.
Mm-hmm.
He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive.
To proclaim liberty to who?
The captive.
This ain't talking about everybody. Once again, this is in the New Testament. Christ quoted this, and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. He was talking to the Israelites. So he's letting those Israelites that was in captivity in Rome during the Roman captivity, letting them know, hey, you're not going to always be in captivity under Romans. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Read.
And the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Or are they going to tell our people that, man, y'all the people that we locked up in prisons? The schoolyard, the prison pipeline that they started? The project housing that they started to get us familiar with that FOBI, whatever it is, in cell, that small cell with them concrete floors, just like them small ass project rooms that we used to live in with the concrete floors. Been there, done that. I was born on one of those floors at my grandmama's house. Those floors were cement. And those rooms were small as hell. We were conditioned to go to prison. I remember my uncle, my youngest uncle, rest his soul, he stayed in jail. And we all asked ourselves, man, why does he keep going back to jail? It's like he was comfortable in jail or something. I don't know what the hell was going on. He was conditioned. He grew up in the projects too. Read.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Read.
And the day of vengeance of our God.
Are they going to tell us about the day of the Most High's vengeance? He's going to take against all the nations? How Christ is going to take vengeance against all the nations? Are they going to tell us about that? So we might get some hope that we just always ain't going to be niggas and spicks and just be in a position of servitude? Read.
To comfort all that mourn.
This is going to give us comfort. This is going to prepare us. Read.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes.
Now it says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. That's how you know it's talking about us. Zion was a big hill in Israel. So it's talking about the Israelites, so-called black and brown people here in the Americas. Read.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Mm-hmm.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
That they might be called trees of righteousness.
Because a man can be called a tree. Read.
The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Read.
And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste city, the desolations of many generations.
This is talking about when it says shall, future tense. After this place is destroyed, we're going to rebuild it. Read.
And strangers.
Talking about the other nations. Went over this last week. This is one of the times where stranger is being used to identify a nation. Strangers shall be what?
Shall stand and feed your flock.
These nations going to stand. They're going to be our servants. They're feeding our flocks, not theirs, ours. They're going to be our servants, our bondmen and bondwomen. Read.
And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen.
They going to be our servants. Read.
And your vine dressers.
Read.
But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord.
We going to really be priests. Read.
Men shall call you the ministers of our God.
Read.
Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles.
We're going to eat all the natural resources. We're going to benefit from all the natural resources of the nations. So, good old Church of Christ people, y'all going to show our people this? This is the true reparations right here. Y'all ain't got to give us no money. Just start broadcasting on a national level that the black, Native American, Spanish people, speaking people in this country, in the U.S., as well, I'm saying, take it as far as South America and the Caribbean islands. Y'all collectively come together and start teaching this doctrine right here, the doctrine of the Bible, the truth. That's what y'all can do for us. That'll do us way better than any damn repression, any amount of money that y'all can give us. Why don't y'all just start teaching the truth? Read.
And in their glory shall ye boast yourselves.
Show them this, how we going to glorify in all the wealth that the nation's going to bring to the Israelites. Read.
For your shame ye shall have double.
And why don't show them this? Read. It says, for our shame, we're going, for all the shame that we've been through, we're going to have double of what the nations got. We're going to have double of what we provided for the nations. Read.
And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double.
Mm-hmm.
Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Everlasting joy is going to be to us. Can y'all imagine having everlasting joy without the interference of you-know-who? I remember I had a conversation with this brother once. And he just kept insisting that black people would never come together and never do anything. We have a problem unifying, all which is true. But I asked him, I said, brother, how do you know that? Man, from this and from that and all the stuff. I said, all the things that you just mentioned, we never were allowed to function on our own. We always had intervention from who? And he didn't want to say it. He didn't want to say it.
Hmm.
All right, brother, come on. We always had intervention from who? Oh, you can't say that it was always their fault. Tell me whose fault it was then. Go back to, I'm going to bring it, something that everybody should know. What about Black Wall Street? We had it going on. And Quartz Top did an excellent class to show that it was many Black Wall Streets. But who intervened and disrupted that? Hell, y'all go back and watch the movie Rosewood, based on a true story. Who intervened and brought that to an end? Always them. Always them mixed up in our business. Read.
For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering.
The Most High said he loves judgment. And we know that the Most High judges righteously. So when he comes and judges the world righteously for what they did to us, then should nobody say nothing. Should nobody have a problem with it. Read.
And I will direct their work.
I'm sorry. And he said he hates robbery for burnt offerings. Read.
And I will direct their work in truth.
He's going to direct us in truth. Read.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with them.
Covenant is contract. Everlasting contract. Contract is not end. You can read the same thing in Jeremiah. You read the same thing. In fact, in Hebrews, when the Most High say, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. That's in the New Testament. Read.
And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles.
And we're going to be known amongst the nations. Read.
Bring among the people.
So it's talking about many generations going to be known. What they going to know? They the Israelites. They God's true people, his chosen people. We ain't. Christ didn't die for everybody. Read.
All that see them shall acknowledge them.
See? Read.
That they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed.
I ain't making it up, y'all. Read.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
My soul shall be joyful in my God.
Mm-hmm.
For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He has covered me with the robe of righteousness.
Read.
As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
Read.
For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations.
What's going to be before all the nations?
Righteousness and praise.
The right way of doing things, which is the Most High's way, not their way. So that's what true reparations looks like, y'all. So don't y'all get caught up in this monetary thing that they trying to give us. I heard so many people talk about this, man. Now, listen, I'm going to say this. If they did come out and give us some money, take the money. I ain't going to front, man. Take the money. But when we take the money, y'all, let's get together collectively and do some things with it. Like, for starters, how about building a school for our children to grow up in? How about building a mortuary or somewhere we can bury our dead? How about opening up, putting our money together, opening up a clinic or a hospital just for our people? How about that? That's called infrastructure. Those are the things that we need. So when we do get that money, let's not go and buy 1,000 pair of Jordans, y'all. Let's not go and buy 8 houses or 10 cars. You can only drive one car at a time, y'all. Only stay at one house at a time. You buying 10 houses, buy 10 houses for 10 families. Your family, the Israelite families. Or better yet, how about we build a community? How about that? So don't turn no reparation money down, y'all. Let's just do some good with it. All right, y'all, we're going to take a brief intermission, and we'll come back with the class, Never Wax Pale, the Old Silence, Part 4. How to talk on the other side of this intermission. First time tuning into the show. I know I'm latest. I don't know what, but I do about an hour, sometimes longer, as y'all can see, current events, talk about soapbox, news, or whatever, before I get into a class. So we finally made it to the class. We don't get much of it, y'all, about 30 minutes, and I'm sorry for running over. But last week, we were going over Revelation chapter 6, And we were in verse, let's go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. And what I'm going over is pretty much breaking this chapter down and giving everybody the historical content of what this chapter is talking about. So last week, we went over Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. Can we read this again, please?
And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword.
All right. So, and I broke all of this down before, so y'all can go back and recap. When it talks about horse, it's talking about a power. It's talking about a power. And this particular power, and it's talking about people, all right, talking about nationality, this particular power is talking about the so-called white man. Because remember, it said that this horse is what color? Red. All right? Red, red, red. So let's get Genesis chapter 25, verse 20. We're not going to read all of this. This is just like a recap to catch everybody up. But still giving edification as to who this red horse was. You got Genesis 25?
Okay.
All right. I don't want to start it because, like I said, we're going to read all of this. Let's start at verse 26. No, 25. No. Verse 24.
And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb.
So this is the matriarch, Rebecca. She was pregnant with twins, one of which was our forefather, Jacob. But we're learning that the other baby that was in her womb, who he was, verse 25 now.
And the first came out red all over.
So this first baby that came out, he came out red. All right? He was the color of red. It says all over like a hairy going, meaning he was, came out red and he came out hairy. This is who we know as, who the world knows, Lucy refers to as the so-called white man. You call him white, but he's really a shade of red. When he's happy, he's red. When he's sad, he's red. When he's ashamed, embarrassed, he's red. He's just always red. And he's hairy. He's the only person on the planet that can shave in the morning, but by 5 o'clock, he's got the beard coming back in. They call it the 5 o'clock shadow. So this describes his complexion. Bless you, Dr. Pat. This describes his complexion and some of the traits that he had on his body. So red and hairy. And then we break this out a lot of times, and the people say, is he talking about the so-called white man? So let's get his mannerisms. Look at verse 27.
And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter,
mm-hmm.
a man of the field.
So he was a cunning hunter. So we already got Esau's color. He's red. You find out he's hairy. Then it says he's a cunning hunter. Now, all nations have their beginning in the Bible. So this is talking about the so-called white man and his beginning. Who's red? Who's hairy? And who is a cunning or skillful hunter amongst the nations? Think about it. Who has the taxidermist? Who has the deer pheromones? Who has the different instruments that are used for hunting and fishing? It's him. He's a very cunning or skillful hunter. But it also says he's a what? Read.
A man of the field.
He's a man of the field. And according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, the field is the world. So he's a man of the world. Who were the men of the world? The explorers, like Lewis and Clark, Marco Polo. All of these were white explorers. Remember the age of exploration? That was them. They were doing these things. Now, read on. And Jacob.
And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents.
So this is our forefather, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. But we came here to get who this red person was that came into power in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. Read that again.
And there went out another horse that was red,
mm-hmm.
and power was given to him that sat thereon,
mm-hmm.
to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword.
And it was given to him a great sword. Now, I'm going to get that, Hostile, but I need you to go real quick, grab that book on the shelf, Who is Esau, Who is Edom? It's a little white book. So it said that this red dude, which we know is to be Esau, the so-called white man, and him coming into power, he was given, it says, and they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So let's get Genesis chapter 27 and verse 38. And she's going to get that book because we edify and prove all things like the Bible says. So Genesis 27, verse 30. Oh, you got it? That was quick. Good job. Page 5. Yeah, hold on to it and jump to Genesis real quick. 27:38. Because the Revelation said that this red horse, which we know is a so-called white man, who's really a shade of red, coming into power, said that he was going to be killing with the sword. So let's go to Genesis chapter 27, verse 38.
And Esau said unto his father.
The same dude we just read about in Genesis 25, so-called white man. He said this to his father, Isaac, our forefather, read.
Hast thou but one blessing, my father?
Mm-hmm.
Bless me, even me also,
mm-hmm.
O my father.
Mm-hmm.
And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
So what happened was Jacob came in dressed as Esau. And our forefather Isaac gave Jacob a blessing. This is why a lot of people say, well, he stole the blessing and all this other stuff. But Esau sold his blessing. He gave it away and he despised it. So this is Esau coming in after the fact, after his blessing was given to his twin brother, his little brother, Jacob. Read.
And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth.
So he did bless him. He said, man, you're going to have the best places of the earth. The earth's going to be yours. Read.
And of the dew of heaven from above.
And, man, you're going to be everywhere. It says of the dew of heaven, talking about the dew that's, you know, the morning dew that falls from the sky. Where's the morning dew fall at? Everywhere. So he's telling him, man, you're going to be everywhere around the world. Because just like it said in Genesis chapter 25, it says that Esau was a man of the field. We know, according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, the field is the world. But you know, this is going to be everywhere. That was his blessing. Read on.
And by thy sword shalt thou live.
Read that part again.
And by thy sword shalt thou live.
He was going to live by the sword. Now, give me Revelation 6 and 4 again. And hold Genesis. We come back to it. Mm-hmm.
And there went out another horse that was red.
Mm-hmm. And Esau, read. So far, white man.
And power was given to him,
uh-huh.
that sat thereon,
uh-huh.
to take peace from the earth,
uh-huh.
and that they should kill one another.
Uh-huh.
And there was given unto him a great sword.
And it was given unto him a great sword. Why was this sword given to him? According to Genesis chapter 27 and verse, what verse are we in? Verse 40, that was his blessing, the sword. Read that part again.
And by thy sword shalt thou live.
See, that was his blessing. He was going to live by the sword. Like it says in Revelation, that great sword was given to him. How did Esau go all around the world conquering and getting the best of the best from the earth? By the sword, by his warfare. All right? Read on.
And shalt serve thy brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass,
mm-hmm.
when thou shalt have the dominion,
uh-huh.
that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
And we definitely going to get into that part. But what I wanted to get from verse 40 was, he was blessed with the sword. All right? The so-called white man was blessed with the sword. Now, who was Esau? Who was Edom? Page 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
To help answer the question of who is Esau, Edom.
Now, listen to this dude. Matter of fact, Give him the author's name.
Who is Esau Edom by Charles A. Weissman?
This is a white dude. Now listen to what he says. Read.
From chapter 1, The Legacy of Esau Edom. To help answer the question of who is Esau Edom, the first necessary step is to examine the racial and genealogical history of Esau and his descendants.
You hear what he's saying? To find out who Esau really is, the Esau of the Bible, you have to examine these things. Read.
Esau was the firstborn of Isaac, and thus was heir to the birthright derived from the direct racial lineage of Adam to Noah to Abraham. Thus, Esau was racially an Adamite, a Semite, and a Hebrew.
This is true. Read.
The racial stock of the white race.
Esau is what?
The racial stock of the white race.
I don't think y'all heard her. Read it again.
The racial stock of the white race.
Esau is the racial stock of the white race, y'all. He's saying this is where white folks come from. They come from Esau. I hope y'all are seeing this. Now, with that understanding, let's go back, because he's letting you know this Edomite, like Genesis said, was red. But he says, hey, this is the racial stock of the so-called white people. So white people, red people, it's interchangeable. They the same people. Now go back to Revelation 6 and 4.
And there went out another horse that was red.
This is Esau, the so-called white man. Like the white man just told y'all, y'all won't listen to me. The white man just told you in his book that the Edomites are white people. This is him coming into power. Read.
And power was given to him that sat thereon.
The power was given to him. Let's go to 1 Maccabees chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's see where this power was given to him at. I hope I got the right book too. Encyclopedia, but we got to go there. All right, get this.
1:1.
Yep.
And it happened after that Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Shittim.
So, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4, when it said it was given power was given to him, it's talking about the so-called white man coming into power. And this is his first claim to fame right here. Him coming into power as the Greeks under Alexander around 333. We got to get some background information. Give me, I don't think I got the right one. Go grab me that book from the bottom of the shelf, the encyclopedia. We're looking for Philip the Macedonian. Bear with me, y'all. I apologize. I thought I had the right encyclopedia, but I don't. So give me just a second. She's going to get it real quick, y'all. Page 5. Oh, you got it already? I had a mark. Good, good, cool. Let's read this. Reading from the encyclopedia, the Columbia Encyclopedia, y'all. Volume 17, I think this is. And page 5277.
Philip II, from 382 to 336 B.C., king of Macedon.
This is the same Philip we just read about. Let me read this again. Say where you at. And it happened after that Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, came out of the land of Shittim. Shittim is modern-day Italy, all right? So this talking about this dude we're reading about out of this encyclopedia. Read it again.
382 to 336 B.C., king of Macedon. From 359 to 336 B.C., son of Amyntas II, while a hostage in Thebes, 367 to 364. He gained much knowledge of Greece and its people. He was appointed regent for Amyntas.
Now, I'm not going to get into this, y'all. I am going to do a class on this. But it says he gained much knowledge of the people of Greece. The so-called white man was not the original Grecian, y'all. He was not the original Greek people. He wasn't. We know.
He was appointed regent for Amyntas, young son of his brother Perdiccas III, but seized the throne for himself, ruthlessly suppressing foreign and Macedonian opposition,
mm-hmm.
reorganizing his army and training it in the effective Theban phalanx formation.
Mm-hmm.
He entered upon an ambitious career of expansion by conquest and diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 2 years, he moved eastward, taking over Amphipolis, 357, and the gold mines of Thrace, 356.
Alexander's dad, Philip, was a bad dude, y'all. I mean, Alexander always gets the press because he was a bad dude, too. But this is his dad. This is who he learned from. His claim to fame was he was the one that united all the Greeks. They was fighting amongst each other. The Edomites were fighting each other. They could never get nowhere because they couldn't get along. Well, Philip, the Macedonian, he basically united all of them and got a big army. And this dude was conquering stuff. And this is the army that Alexander would eventually go on to inherit. Read.
In the same region where he had founded Philippi, in 351, Demosthenes, fearing Philip's encroachment.
And I didn't know that. Philippi was named after Philip of Macedonia. It said where he founded Philippi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Delivered in Athens the first of the denunciatory Philippics. By 348, Philip had annexed the Chalcidice, now the Chalcidice, including Olynthus, and was involved in a war over Delphi between Phocis and its neighbors. In the settlement, 346, Philip became a member of the Delphic Council with a recognized position in Greece. But Demosthenes continued to agitate, and when Philip moved to absorb the European side of the strait, the Dardanelles, 340, Athens and Thebes went to war with him. Philip crushed them at Chaeronea, 338. Now master of Greece, he established a federal system of Greek states.
Master of Greece. He set up Greek states. Read.
He was preparing an attack on Persia. When
he was preparing an attack on who?
On Persia.
Because remember, before the Greeks came into power, the Persian Mede Empire, the Persian Median Empire, was in power. So this goes right along with the history. And this goes also along with the Bible, because Daniel speaks about this in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. And it's talked about what we're reading right now in Revelation. Read.
He was preparing an attack on Persia when he was killed.
And so he was preparing to fight against Persia, but he was killed. And guess who took his place? Read.
His wife, Olympias, was accused, probably falsely, of the murder.
Mm-hmm.
Philip's consolidation of his kingdom and his reduction of Greece to relative peace made possible the campaigns of his son, Alexander the Great.
Alexander took his place. Y'all see that, right? Read.
Philip was the true founder of Alexander's army and trained some of his best generals. For example, Antigonus, Cyclops, Antipater, Nearchus, Parmenion, and Perdiccas. C.D.G. Hogwarts, Hogarth, Philip and Alexander of Macedon, 1897, Samuel Perlman edition, so Philip and Athens, 1970.
This is giving all the references. Now, remember, it says that this was Philip of Macedon, and he was responsible for he was wanted to go fight against the Persian Medes. He didn't get a chance to, but his son Alexander did. Now, let's get Esther chapter 16, the rest of Esther chapter 16 and verse 10. Wait a minute. No, it's in the Bible. Esther 16 and 10. I hope I'm not going too fast, y'all. Oh, I must be in the pocket then. My bad, y'all. Yep, it is in the in the Apocrypha. So we're going to the Apocrypha, the rest of Esther, chapter 16 and verse 10.
For Ammon, a Macedonian,
so Ammon is known as Haman in the Bible, in the book of Esther. But it calls him a what?
For Ammon, a Macedonian.
He was a Macedonian. Who else was a Macedonian? Philip the Macedonian, we just read about. Alexander was a Macedonian. We find out that Haman was a Macedonian also. Read.
The son of Amadatha, being indeed a stranger from the Persian blood, and far distant from our goodness, and as a stranger received of us.
Now, this dude, because it says that Haman was the son of Hamatha, right? So let's get 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 8. To find out who this Amatha character is, his lineage. Yeah, 1 Samuel 15, 18.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
Read.
And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners.
Oh, 15 and what did I say? 18? I'm sorry, verse 8. 15 and 8.
And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive.
The king of who?
The Amalekites.
He was the king of the Amalekites. Did we get all of that? Hold on, I'm missing a scripture. Give me Esther, verse 3. Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. Keep reading. Keep reading.
And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag.
Spared who?
Agag.
Now, remember what it said in Esther chapter 16, verse 10. But Ammon, a Macedonian, the son of Hamathabat, being indeed a stranger from the Persian blood. Hold on, that ain't the one I wanted. Wait a minute. Hold up, y'all. Wait a minute. 3 and 1. Here we go. So we're in Esther chapter 3 and verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman? So this Haman is this the same dude Ammon is in the book, the rest of the book of Esther. The son of Hamadatha. And in the Apocrypha, he's known as Hamadatha. But it says the Agite. So this Hamatha, or Amatha, as it's called in the Apocrypha, he was known as an Agite. I hope y'all see this. Now, in verse, in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 8, read that again.
And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword.
So, we find out here that Agag, I'm sorry, read this again. No. We went to verse 9, right? Yeah, read verse 9.
But Saul and the people spared Agag. And the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly.
No, let me see. You just had it. Let me see. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Verse 9. Read that again.
But Saul and the people spared Agag.
Agag. We just read in, what was we at? In the book of Esther 3 and 1.
that this cat Hamas or Amon was called an Agite. Y'all see that, right? And this cat in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 9, he was called Agag. Agag, Agite, same thing. All right? Stay with me, y'all. Agag, Agite, same thing. Now we got to see where these people came from. Now read verse 8.
15.
Yep, 15 and 8.
And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites.
So this cat, Agag, was the king of the Amalekites. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 36.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to read verse 1.
Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom.
So they're talking about Esau, the so-called white man, the red man that talks about in Revelations. Read verse 9.
And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir.
He's the father of all Edomites. Read verse 12.
And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son.
Mm-hmm.
And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek.
She bare to Eliphaz who?
Amalek.
Amalek. So the Amalekites are Edomites. They come from Esau. So what would that make Philip the Macedonian? He was an Edomite. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
Philip the Macedonian was an Edomite. And we know that the Edomites are what color?
Red.
Red, according to Genesis chapter 25. Hope everybody sees. I hope I ain't lose nobody. I know I was kind of choppy. Now let's go to back to 1 Maccabees,
mm-hmm.
chapter 1 and verse 1. Yeah, that's the 95th one.
That's actually one more.
Yep.
And it happened after that Alexander, son of Philip,
mm-hmm.
the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Shittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persians and Medes.
So it's talking about Alexander coming into power. Alexander's father, Philip, was an Amalekite. So that would also make Alexander a what? An Amalekite. And Amalekite came from Esau, who the Bible describes as being red. I hope y'all see this. Give me Revelation 6 and 4 again, please.
Mm-hmm. And there went out another horse that was red,
mm-hmm.
and the power was given to him.
So this was the so-called white man, the red man, coming into power as Alexander the Great around 333 B.C. Now, give me the Romans Bible Atlas, page 174. We're going to read page 175 also. It's the last book right there. Our time is really up, y'all, but I'm going to get this last part before I call it quick.
174.
Yeah, 174, 175. We're going to read out of the Romans Bible Atlas.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Okay. The Hellenistic period.
Mm-hmm.
The conquest of Alexander the Great signaled the dawn of a new era for the Near East.
Y'all see this, right? The Bible is a history book. We just read it out of the Apocrypha. Now we're reading it out of secular source, a history book. Alexander the Great came into power. The
center of international power shifted from east to west,
mm-hmm.
first to Greece, and later to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Students of the world's history speak of the Hellenistic period.
Now stop. It said the power basically shifted from the east, he says, to Greece, then to Rome. So this red horse that is talking about Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4 is not just talking about Alexander's reign and power. It's talking about the whole red nation in their lineage that extended to what we know as the Roman Empire. That's why it was called the Greco-Roman Empire, because Rome instituted a lot of the Greek ideology, a lot of the Greek idolatry, and a lot of Greek customs. And that's why they spoke Greek in Rome as well as Latin. But it's talking about that time period when they were in power, whether it be the Greeks or the Romans. And we definitely don't get into that. We don't.
Students of world history speak of the Hellenistic period since Hellas is the Greek word for Greece.
Mm-hmm.
The Hellenistic era witnessed momentous developments that prepared the way for the Christian movement and led to far-reaching changes in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Trade between East and West had prospered for centuries. Greek merchants visited the coastal regions of the Eastern Mediterranean before 1000 BC. The military campaigns of Alexander accelerated the influx of Greek culture. He envisioned a single unifying culture based on Greek ideals.
A unifying culture based on Greek ideas. Does this sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Sound like America to me. Ain't that what they always trying to do? They're trying to force their culture, their religion, their ideology on the whole world to make everybody what? One. And then tell us that lie, everybody's the same. Alexander had this in his spirit also. It's not a kawinky dink. This is the vision that's in Esau's spirit, that everybody should be one. Read.
Based on Greek ideals, embracing all his conquered territories, classical Greek ideas blended with local customs and concepts. The mix produced a new period of history.
A new mix. What it produced was confusion. Because that's what it is in America. You can worship what you want to worship as long as you abide by the American doctrine, the American ideology. It was the same back in Greece. You can do and worship whatever gods you want to worship, but you better pay our taxes. You better obey by our rules. You better do what we do. This is in Esau's spirit, y'all. But this is what came into power. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. This is what it's talking about. Read.
Marked by a rich and diverse blend of cultures, an international cosmopolitan perspective.
An international cosmopolitan, you know, a.k.a. melting pot.
Began to replace the regionalism of previous historical eras. Alexander's victories brought a culture uniting the world of his day.
Uniting the world of his day. Read.
But he did not bring political unity. Palestine and the Near East suffered under the jealous wars of Alexander's successors. Two of Alexander's generals divided the eastern part of his empire. Ptolemy ruled from Alexandria, Egypt. Seleucus set up his kingdom in Babylonia and Syria.
And that's who Cleopatra came out of. She came out of the Ptolemaic dynasty, y'all. So, yeah. She wasn't a black woman. She was an Edomite. But this is Alexander coming to power like Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4 predicted. That red horse, that red nation would come into power and rule the whole world with sword. Hence Alexander's military campaign over the dark world at this particular time. So, y'all, this is a good place to stop. We are going to stop here. And when we come back next week, Lord willing, we'll continue to get that. And then we'll start going into Rome, too, about Esau coming into power and eventually work our way back into the Dark Ages. But the water for everybody tuning in. And the water, thank y'all, man, so much, man, for y'all love and y'all support of Blog Talk, Bible Talk Radio, man. Me and Michelle, we greatly appreciate it, y'all. We ask that y'all keep listening, keep spreading the word, man, and keep supporting. I hope everybody got some edification out of the class. If you got any questions over this class or any other topic, or you got a question in general, or you just want to rap to a brother, man, you can hit me up at area code 314-482-9110. And, well, until next week, y'all, Lord willing, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
And with that, y'all, we're going to say Shalom. Shalom.